morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 13th, 198th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, tour director Rex Bone.
Good morning.
Oh, man, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. We'll talk about it.
They're fairly comfortable.
But they're so short.
Yeah. Mine are closer to, but they both end at the ground.
Here's one. I'll get even with you on this one. Our quote this morning comes from Thomas Fuller in 1732, quote, "Old vessels must leak."
I'm there.
So, yeah.
I'm one porous fool.
I figured you might recognize something in there.
Yes.
Oh, my. So you're playing tour director now for all these folks from out of the area going out into the hinterlands. What's that all about?
Well, we've had some people from Sacramento that, you know, had a lot to do with policy and procedure on both on Senator McGuire's and Assemblyman Woods' bill. And they did, they had input on them, and they represent land use and water use from RCRC, the Rural Counties Group. And they came up, and we did a little bit of a tour of some marijuana gardens that are coming into compliance or going through the compliance procedures, just so they could see at the end of the day where we'd like to see it, you know, no runoff, contained on agricultural soil, not clearing and leveling of lands, no water diversions, places where they have enough water to do agriculture. And since the state of California has called it an agricultural product, along those lines, just to see what we'd like to see. And then some of the guerrilla grows that are leveling lands and coming in. And we've seen a lot in the last week or so of some trespass grows. They're going after trespass grows pretty hard. Looks like they got quite a few plants, you know, out by Riadale the other day on a trespass grow. And now they're out through the, I think, on the Urox and up on Forest Service lands up in Orleans last week. So
yeah, I know there was some up on the square.
Yeah. So I think that's what we have to address is the environmental damages, and then go from there.
When you take these folks out, how do you know which ones to take them to? Because even the good guys are still illegal today.
Yes, it is. But the ones that have come forward and turned their paperwork in and are trying to go forward. I mean, just last Thursday, the Planning Commission, we had a Planning Commission approve their first farm out in Honeydew. Met all the criteria of the Water Board and Fish and Wildlife and is moving forward with their permitting process.
How much does a permit cost?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I know the water board permit, I think, is $2,500. I think the county, I really couldn't tell you.
More than affordable for these folks. I didn't know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's like our excise tax. I know that if you want to grow, if you're permitted and have an agricultural site that is permitted and you have the water for it, you can, if you have 320 or more acres, you can grow an acre. And if you have 640, you can go 2 acres and along those lines. But if you're going to grow an acre, you're going to pay a $43,500 excise fee if you're going to grow it outside. If you're going to grow it with lights, you're going to pay an $87,000 excise fee. And if it's a one-acre warehouse, you're going to pay $120,000-some-odd. So, I mean, you know, $130,100-something. So, I mean, and that's an excise tax that we brought on a few weeks ago.
He's got it down. We'll see what else he's got down when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of getting these folks out in the field has got to be kind of intriguing and perhaps a little enlightening also. These aren't folks from the area. They may be from the region, or they're from Sacramento.
The ones I took from Sacramento, you're right. They had never been to it, but I took...
Had they been even out in the hills, as we define the hills?
I can remember them saying they had never been on a road as bad as... And this has been a month and a half ago, the Petrolia Honeydew Road. They says, my gosh, this road is terrible. With that being said, with the Measure Z emergency funds we've done for the roadway safety, our local road crews have put in a huge amount of time on roads, both in southern Humboldt, Petrolia Honeydew.
But it's still rough.
I'll tell you what, I've been out there six times in the last 3 weeks, and the roads are 200% better. But they were bad before. But they are working on them feverishly and trying to make them better, because that's probably one of the biggest issues we have, at least in the Mattole Valley, is the roads. And they're addressing them. They're getting there. I was out there for the 4th of July picnic. Had more people say thank you for the roads than they did throwing rocks at me for them. So that was, don't throw rocks at me. Put them in the chuck holes.
Yeah, put them in the hole. Yeah.
But the people understand. They live remotely for a reason, and they understand that there's not a lot of people out there. So service are going to be limited, but my hats are off to the Ferndale Road crew, because, you know, and to Mattson. I mean, he's stretching, you know, pennies and making copper wire out of them. I mean, he's doing what he can. I mean, I've said it before. We used to have 158 people in the road crew, and 16 barns. Now we have less than 60 and 6 barns. So the mass is, and we don't have any less roads.
Doesn't seem like it, does it?
1,235 miles, I think I keep hearing.
I just rounded to 1,250,
and
feel kind of cocky that I can get within 1,000.
Yeah.
So when you're taking these folks from Sacramento out into the hills, what kind of general comments are they making? Is this like, are they concerned about their personal safety?
No.
Are they educated at all about this stuff?
They have a lot of what they've read. They've been delving in it because of the bills that Woods and McGuire, and then, you know, the other bills that are following it and stuff, and also they're paying very much attention to the next bill, the legalization bill that's being brought forward for the November election. So I mean, they're fully aware of what's going on. I never worry when I go out there. I mean, I think there are, but I know, I don't think I'm gonna put myself in the danger of going someplace I shouldn't be.
You've been around enough. You might recognize the signals.
Yeah,
and the warning signs.
And, you know, and there are situations of people, you know, but this is where the ordinance, this is where the grows come in. This is what we're trying to get out of the hills. Nobody should be, if they're walking out on public lands, enjoying what has been preserved for the people of the U.S. and Humboldt County without sounding anything else, nobody should feel in danger of anything that is not natural to the surroundings. I mean, you've still got to worry about wildlife.
Cliffs.
Obviously. the nature has, you shouldn't have to worry about trip
do
lines,
you?
People. Huh?
Do you feel safe walking in, let's say, pick a spot, Six Rivers National Forest?
Yes.
You don't have any concerns you're going to stumble into something?
None at all. If I do see something, I know enough sense to just tell myself to back out. I've done that before. I says, I'm out of here, and turn around and walk off. I don't think that's going to be an issue, and I don't think when somebody walks off, I don't think that's going to be an issue. But this is why we're trying to put so much effort, the water board, our local law enforcement and everything else is putting so much effort. We have to take care of two things. The trespass gorilla grows that are taking properties away from people to enjoy, and on private, you know, timberlands and property owners. And we have to take care of the environmental degradation, because streams are starting to run lower than they have in previous years, and we had good rainfall. We should be having that. We should have recharged. I hear where it's 2020 if we keep the normal rain schedule we have before we'll be completely, and everything will be recharged out of this drought for us up here and everything else. But the creeks are starting to run dry already because of diversions.
Well, we get the furry water. I mean, it tells you something.
Yeah, and I mean, the water board sent out letters a few weeks ago saying, you know, if you're not registered with us, how are you watering that greenhouse? And they've started sending letters out, and they're letting people aware.
What's the response been?
I think they've been getting a lot of phone calls, because there's a little thing on the bottom of the line says it's $1,000 a day fine until you get registered. So the water board has shot a pretty good arrow across the bow So I think compliance is going to be the answer for a lot of people. In the last few weeks, there's been some busts that these people weren't registered or have even attempted to be registered. So,
well, that it's nice at least they're being kept honest,
well,
so to speak.
Well, I think that's what our law enforcement wants to do. I don't think they want to. I think if somebody wants to comply with all the regulatory and all the state statutes and stuff to do this, you know, what's going to be coming down and what we've put in through the ordinance, I think they want to go after the people that are doing the most damage and have no intention. These people that are doing the most damage and creating problems on the hillsides, grading, water diversion, they have no intent of ever signing up.
So just being the stupid Neanderthal that I'm often accused of being, how do you get a D8 cat out in the middle of the woods?
Low bet it.
So somebody knows what's going on. Somebody's going out there.
Oh, there's.
But if you own one of those things, isn't it like an electrician where you've got exposure? If this thing hasn't been permitted, don't you, as the operator or the guy doing the work,
you know,
have culpability
on the regulatory part of it? I would venture to say that. But with that being said, I had two phone calls last week about a guy says, "Hey, there's this guy. He's grading this mountain. I won't say, but he's grading this mountain." He probably has 15 loads of logs piled up, and he's just running it back and forth and just pushing everything else. So I called CDF, and I says, "Hey, I've got a complaint. Here's the general area it is and everything else." 45 minutes later, I got it. He says, "That's a conversion." I says, they have a permit. They have 5 permits, and here's the operator. And they have 5 permits for that hillside. I was out there yesterday. They're abiding by all our rules.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Rex, as you're looking at the legislation that is going to be on the ballot this fall, do you see relief? Do you see consistency? Do you see clarity? Do you see a hornet's nest of complications? What do you see when you're looking at this stuff?
Well, and I haven't read it front to back, but I've been looking at little pieces of it. I've been seeing, I just noticed that the California Growers Association, which is the large grower association for, I guess, for California, they split on it. I just read the article last week. They split on it almost right down the middle. They got 600 members, and I think it was like 200 members for, 200 against, and 200 undecided.
You know? Sounds like Humboldt County,
yeah,
doesn't it?
And I'm sitting there going, well, maybe it's not that bad because nobody can make their mind up if it's good, bad, or indifferent. With that being said, this was the one that Newsom, you know, Lieutenant Governor Newsom pushed, and then Sean Parker and George Soros are financing. So I always worry when a couple billionaires are controlling something that, which means this is probably going to end up being a big business item rather than a niche manufacturing item that people up here in Humboldt would like to see.
No surprise. I mean, RJR and Kraft Foods, I mean, those guys are going to get involved.
You know, so with that being said, I know it's going to be the only thing on there, and it's for legalization, and even with its problems, negatives, positives, and everything else, it's running like 58%. So I don't know. I would love for this just to be done with, and we can start working on real issues that we've got. But I mean, we talked last time about this, and it hasn't. I've had 3 meetings since we had it. Workforce, Your kids are getting out of high school. If they're having trouble finding jobs, there are jobs. I've got dairy jobs available. The dairies are having problems. Our local rest homes are having a huge problem. I mean, it's almost over. It's to the point where they're gonna have to look to right sizing to their staff, and that's gonna mean that we're gonna have a shortage of care beds. Retail, they're having problems with staffing issues. It's a huge issue across the board. We had a meeting with some dairy farmers up at the Farm Bureau with Department of EDD and Connie Lorenzo, and says, hey, this is what we got. So, well, maybe we can advertise outside the area, because they've advertised enough in the area. So
is pay fair?
Dairies are almost anywhere between $13 and $15 an hour. Higher as you move up the chain. It's a good starting wage. It's the same thing I said.
That's what I've heard with the residential homes. Is that it's like minimum wage plus, and you really don't. It's not a job that a lot of folks really want.
And they can never
fill it because they're not going to bump it up because of the way compensation is now.
Well, compensation through Medi-Cal, and you know, with Medicare and Medi-Cal not backfilling, I guess those are all issues and stuff. But they're having trouble finding RNs and, you know, LVNs also, besides the CNAs. So the local group is working towards solutions. They've been reaching out to the community asking what can we do to get people. And minimum wage jobs have always been tough to fill. They've always been tough to fill, but you know,
McDonald's, that's the concept.
You know, it's the concept. Maybe that gets better as the minimum wage goes up, or maybe it just gets people saying, "I still won't work for minimum wage." I don't know if it's a mindset or if it's the money.
Or maybe that piece of gear will show up and we'll automate. KINS, well, sorry, KINS, yeah. News and Information Time. It's 8:39. We'll be back with more from Rex.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It is 8:44. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bohm. Rex, a couple things have happened since we last got together along those same lines of employment. We've had the St. Joe's merger announced. From your perspective, good, bad?
I think it gives us a bigger pool of trained doctors. I've talked to Dr. O'Brien and a few of the people involved, and it gives them more resources. In something like healthcare, if I'm having something diagnosed and he can send it, he says, maybe let me have somebody else look at this, and they have the option of sending it to 10 places rather than two, I'm all for that. But it gives them option. I imagine it gives them buying power on equipment. Provident, they've got the people that they're partnering up with. It's another faith-based organization. They have high... I think they're in seven states, I read. I went to the when they had the hearing at the Wharfinger, when the Attorney General met about it, and it was pretty much positive all the way around. Some of the nurses felt that there could be issues. So I listened to that faction, but overall it sounded like a positive effect. Community members looked forward to it. They're not closing anything down. They may ramp some things up. But I mean, them and Mad River and Reverend Memorial, so two of the three are going to be involved here, and that's our health care. And then, you know, with that, you know, we talk about that, the expansion that Open Door's doing is wonderful too. So I see a brighter light as far as our health care locally, because it's been tough to get doctors, and I hear there's something like 12 to 13 doctors coming or in the process of relocating here.
GPs?
And that's... the whole variety, specialist, okay. GP, the whole variety across the board. Anesthesiologist, there's a husband-wife team I hear coming. I've been hearing these things. And it's
oh, so they can knock you out.
Well, the old Dr. Hayes and Dr. Ben Gurdy's. I mean, she, you know, the anesthesia. So that was a, you know. But I'm just saying, that's a bright spot. And I think when something gets bigger like that, it might be beneficial for us.
Another thing that's happened is the East-West Rail study. The potential for that has come out. I know that there are some jurisdictions locally that are helping to support, and there are others that are not in the least. What kind of sense do you have about the doing the study? We both went through the LNG thing and that whole fiasco. You know, you go back to the Hershey and some of the other things in our history where we blow people out of the water before it's even looked at realistically. How are we going to avoid that happening with this one?
Instead of calling it an East-West rail study, what they're looking at, and what it is, it's a transportation study. And it's kind of funny. I mean, 299 is going to be STAA approved before 101 because of that mile there at Richardson's Grove, which is, I still think, ridiculous, and I'm sorry, I understand. But, you know, as I go through the California, as I go through Bull Creek yesterday and looked at all those huge trees, and I'm sitting here, we're preserving a lot. We're not taking down any trees on Richards Grove, but I mean that's a whole different thing. But as far as 299 goes, I talked to a guy yesterday, brought in a triple wide mobile home or double wide mobile home, sold it, brought it in. They had to take it all the way to Roseburg and bring it across and down from Sacramento to Roseburg and down. Now, is that efficient? Is that smart? I don't think so. And the other thing is, it raised the person's transportation costs about 35%. So it doesn't do anything.
It's a deal breaker.
A trucker out of Sacramento made a little bit more money, and some highway patrolmen that got to lead it down. So do we need to work on that? But the transportation study, it may find out that, hey, you know something? Long Beach is backed up with ships, but they're unloading black and blue widgets that can actually be put on trucks and taken to the Midwest. And we can unload them in Eureka. And now that STAA trucks can go over 299, they run them over there and get on I-5, and they're good to go. And it'll be quicker than unloading it in Long Beach, getting it on a rail car there. You know, we can truck it over to Reading and put it on the rail. There's avenues. It's a transportation study with a composite, you know, with a composite based on an east-west rail. And, you know, everybody goes, oh, God, it never happened. You got to understand, if we would have never had the 1906 earthquake, we would have had an east-west rail. That was the only plan. That was the only plan in the books was east-west. 1906 happened. The lumber guy says, we can rebuild San Francisco here. We own all the land. Let's go north-south. You know, that's what
history
says.
But the willingness to explore it, I think, or the lack of willingness to explore it, that's what's got me charged up right now.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And you know, I applaud you guys. I know you've been a leader on Last Chance Grade. You know, I mean, being 20 years to get it done, 20 years we're going to be screwed. And I think, you know, and you've been very vocal. You've got a whole bunch of good citizens that understand that. We're not saying anything, that it just has to be gone around. There's some pretty easy fixes, not cheap, but having that road closed, it'll be far cheaper than having that road closed for a year.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to get this study funded before Last Chance Grade bypass occurs. Oh, man. And then maybe Richardson's Grove will fall into place.
There you go.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always good. Thanks, Brian.
We've been talking shop with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.